Technology today has never been smarter, but smart only matters when you put it to good use. Let's put smart to work. Search IBM UK to find out more.
The following is brought to you by the Leave It in the Ring Podcast Network. All boxing, no filter.
Greetings and welcome to the Boxing Esquire Podcast. Welcome to a Christmas bonus edition of the Boxing Esquire podcast. Scott Schaefer and I talked for quite a bit when we did our session, and I actually had to cut some of it out. So I didn't want to waste that. So I'm going to give kind of a episode 16A of the Boxing Esquire podcast with Scott Schaefer. This was the part where we talked about the networks. I hope you enjoy.
But, you know, just getting to maybe what was the biggest story in 2018.
No question in my mind what the biggest story is.
had to be HBO going under. You know, last year around this time we asked, you know, how will HBO rebound from losing the two top franchises in boxing, Top Rank and PBC, and not getting the World Boxing Super Series? I guess the answer was they won't.
Right. Right. You know, and I remember trying to be diplomatic about that last year, and the way it played out, it's, you know, the guys like us were old enough to remember the 90s when HBO was the absolute pinnacle of the sport. I mean, I can remember, you know,
as
well. I didn't get HBO. I grew up in Staten Island, and HBO didn't come to Staten Island for a while. I personally got subscribed to HBO in 1990, which was the two of the first fights that were on HBO when I subscribed were Tyson Douglas, or excuse me, Douglas Tyson, and then Julio Cesar Chavez, Meldrick Taylor won. Both of them were within a couple of months of each other in 1990. That was an unbelievable way to start off subscribing to HBO, and that's absolutely, you know, probably the reason why I'm sitting here is because those fights made me a huge boxing fan. And, you know, both of us can definitely remember, you know, looking at the HBO schedule and, you know, being excited for weeks about an HBO show and getting a chance to see a new fighter you've never seen before, or just a matchup that, you know, the best versus the best. And, you know, times have changed. And I think when people look back on 2018 in boxing, certainly the business side, but if not boxing overall, it's really just the changing of the guards and the end of an era, the HBO era, the cable television era. The HBO era certainly came to an end in 2018, and the DAZN era started in 2018.
Right.
And, you know, I think that the way people watch television and cable television in general and consume entertainment is going to change dramatically in the next couple of years, and the Netflix / DAZN model is going to take over. It makes it great for the people who are already fans. I think it makes it not so great for developing fans. I mean, DAZN, as far as I'm aware, hasn't released numbers about how many people have watched the fights. And I'm a happy DAZN subscriber. I got it from, you know, day one. The Amir Khan fight, I think, was free. And then the Anthony Joshua fight was probably the first fight that you had to pay, or, you know, many people got the free trial. Got it from day one. Whatever it is, $9 or $10 a month, love it. Love seeing all the undercard fights. Love being able to, you know, tune in a little bit before the main event and then just kind of fast forward through the undercard, see what you missed. And if you're interested in a certain young prospect, you get to see him. I mean, everything's on there, so it's great. But in terms of building a market, you know, I think it sets up a barrier. You know, we're old enough to remember boxing on free TV, on ABC, Wild World of Sports, and CBS and NBC, when anybody can just tune into boxing and become a fan. You know, the complaint with HBO and Showtime was that, hey, they're trying to build stars, but it's on pay TV, and not everybody has pay TV.
Right.
And so how do you build a star when nobody gets to see it? And now that issue is even more amplified now, because fewer people are watching DAZN than subscribe to HBO.
Well, that's the irony, right? I mean, we finally, you know, PBC had the disruption a few years ago. They put boxing back on free TV. You know, this was the year they had to flip the model. They finally did. They've got it back on Fox. You know, it's going to be in prime time on Saturdays. You know, at least 10 months out of the year, it'll be on FS1 as well. You've got Top Rank on ESPN. You know, you've got like Major League Boxing, very accessible to the masses. And then what happens, you know, another like outlier, you know, this time a streaming service, not a pay cable outfit, you know, is comes in with a huge bank and is trying to pick off, you know, major fighters and take the sport, you know, away from the masses again. So it's deja vu all over again.
Right. But, and it remains to be seen how long ESPN will, you know, resist the temptation to put its big fights on its app, ESPN Plus.
Right.
And
right.
They, you know, the fights seem, I mean, so far they've been good about keeping it on ESPN, but they seem to be migrating their fights over to the app.
Yeah, it's a little confusing how they're doing it. Like you really, you know, I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. I'm sure there is, but I can't see it. You know what, you know, what fights go on Plus and what don't. I mean, you've had a couple major fights. I mean, the Crawford Horn fight was a big fight, and in fact, I think that was the impetus for ESPN getting their or Top Rank getting their new deal with ESPN, because it was a huge success in bringing subscribers, apparently, which is a great news for the sport. That Crawford Horn really drove a ton of subscribers to ESPN too. So ESPN really is now getting, you know, putting some more muscle behind Top Rank and gave them a longer deal. But, you know, there still doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason, you know, which fights go on. They kind of alternate them. Obviously, ESPN wants to get into pay-per-view at a certain point, too. And this is, like, the big, big question for boxing is if you get enough subscribers to the streaming service, can you sell the pay-per-view strictly on you know, if you get to the point where you can sell the pay-per-view strictly on the service, you're cutting out in demand, which has been cutting 50% off of your That's revenues. Right.
The local cable operators would traditionally take, or still do traditionally take, about 50% of the pay-per-view revenue.
Absolutely.
And the apps allow you to...
You bypass that.
You bypass that, and the promoters keep them, but...
But yeah. The question is, you know, when we get to that point, what's going to be the price point? You know, are they going to still try and, like, you know, take you for $75 for these big things? Or, I mean, obviously they're making them 50% more money. You'd think they could lower the price point and make it, you know, a lot more appealing to the masses. You know, I mean, you know, we'll see what that sweet spot is.
Right. And what will the consumer's reaction be? I mean, again, happy DAZN subscriber here, but come April, you know, what will they ask us to pay more for Anthony Joshua's fight? Will that just be included in the basic package, or,
right,
or for the really big fights? Are they going to take them off DAZN? I mean, you know, already there might be a hint of things to come, and I'm again, happy DAZN subscriber, but a little bit upset and confused. It was announced just within the last couple of days that Dillian White versus Derek Chisora, which is just a real fight fans fight.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, the personalities involved, the rematch, the you know, what's at stake, and what could be in store for the winner, the future implications in heavyweight, and just a great fight for hardcore fans to look forward to. And, you know, because it's a matchroom fight, it was assumed it would be on DAZN, and earlier this week they announced it was going to be on Showtime.
Right.
Now, look, I still have Showtime, so I don't really care that much where I get to watch that fight. Had I not been a Showtime subscriber and only had DAZN, I would be upset. And also, you know, there's some undercard fights I want to see there, too.
Right.
I mean, I always, you know, this guy's not a top performer, but I'm always kind of intrigued. If you had this podcast several years ago, I would have been talking about how I thought a future heavyweight champion of the world was going to be David Price. It hasn't quite worked out that way, right, but I still kind of would like to, you know, I still kind of follow his career and like to watch his struggles to remain relevant. That fight's probably not going to be on Showtime and would have otherwise been on DAZN. So, you know, I'm paying my money to DAZN and not getting that fight right now. So,
yeah, it's interesting.
You know,
I think
little, it, little little cause for concern there. Will my life go on without seeing David Price? You know, yes, it will, but a little bit of a cause for concern.
Sure. I think it came out that with Eddie Hearn's overseas fights, it's not a guarantee that they'll be on DAZN, but DAZN has the option to bid on them. And the fact that they didn't bid on this fight, which is a major heavyweight fight, I mean, Dillian White, I would say, is a top five heavyweight. Chisora is arguably top 15, top 10. The fact that it's not, you know, that they decided not to bid on that, I'm kind of like,
Are they short on cash? Or,
yeah.
You know, or
makes maybe me a little
maybe they
leery.
Want, maybe they wanted to get on? Maybe they wanted to get broader exposure.
Right. It makes you wonder what numbers, you know, Eddie's fights are doing, you know. I mean, maybe they just felt like, hey, you know, maybe we'll pass on this one. You know, we don't think it's going to do any numbers. It's not going to drive any subscribers. You know, and again, that's another piece of it we don't know.
Right.
Is the deal that Hearn did with DAZN, and if it's, you know, he has to drive, you know, X amount of subscribers to the channel in order to maintain his deal. We don't know any of those details. So it's... You know, DAZN has come in, you know, with a big splash and thrown a lot of money around. But as you know, in this sport, just coming in with a big pile of cash is not always a guarantee of success.
It'll get your foot in the door. But
the old joke, you know, how do you get $1 million in boxing? You start with $7 million.
Yeah, exactly. Or $10 million. Yeah.
Start with $10 million.
Well, they started with a lot more than that.
And that will do it for the bonus edition of the Boxing Esquire podcast. Obviously, Scott and I recorded that before the Dillian White Derek Chisora rematch. So, anyway, I just wanted to give you a little bit extra. It's been a great 2018. Looking forward to continuing this podcast since 2019. And happy holidays to everyone. Happy New Year. And so long, everybody. Have a great 2019.
Did you get what you was looking for?
By the end of this podcast, nearly 10,000 new malware variants will have launched. Now AI can help protect your data from threats wherever it lives with IBM Security. Let's put smart to work. Learn more at ibm.com/smart/UK.